Book of Acts, chapter number 1. Well, I appreciate the good service this morning. I love it when the Lord walks in and lets me rest a while. Amen. Nothing like the Lord, is it? Acts chapter number 1, the Bible said, verse 1, the former treaties, or that former record, have I made, O Theophilus, a member of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Thank you for standing tonight. I want to preach on a thought tonight out of the Master's ministry. The Master's ministry. I wondered tonight if I'd asked you as a child of God, what's your ministry? You say, well, preacher, God's not called me to preach. Oh, I didn't ask you, had you been called to preach? I just asked, what was your ministry? We find here about the Master's ministry, there was some preceding achievements. There's nobody like Jesus. He said, the former treaties or the former records have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. There was in His preceding achievements a founding work. Aren't you glad that God the Father, at the beginning of time, He spoke this old world into existence? It was not God just in the beginning, but God has always been God. And He'll always be God. Well, where'd God come from? Well, where God lives. How old is God? I don't know, but I can tell you this. He's old enough to know about everything tonight. Well, preacher, His preceding achievement. What about His founding work? The Bible said that Jesus began. Aren't you glad that on Calvary's cross there was a founding work that the Lord Jesus did? He laid the foundation. He's the chief cornerstone. And now tonight we're building upon that cornerstone. The apostles came and they began to build off of that chief corner. And you know, I've noticed something about building. If that corner's not right, nothing's right. You start laying brick. If that corner's not right, the whole house will be out. Oh, aren't you glad that Jesus got it right? Amen. He died on an old rugged cross that me and you could go free tonight. Oh, I'm glad that just any old way don't get to heaven tonight. I'm glad I'm in the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. You may be here and you're a sinner tonight. You've never been saved by the grace of God. Jesus died for you. Jesus lives on the right-hand side of the Father for you. He's making intercession for you. Boy, I'm glad at bloody Calvary there was a founding work. You see, sin deforms. Sin always takes its hold on a person. I'll be the first one to agree tonight that sin is fun. But sin's only fun for a season. The Bible said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Hollywood may look real glamorous tonight, but honey, you let the movie projectors keep rolling a few miles on down the road and you'll see that sinful lifestyle. Men and women that's supposed to be 40 look 60, 70 years old because that life of sin. Young people, everything that glitters is not gold tonight. Oh my, His preceding achievements, His founding work. We see that sin deforms. And then we live in a world where it says that education, it informs. And I'm all about education tonight. But honey, I'm going to tell you, you never can learn enough to go to heaven. Certainly, sin deforms and education informs. And then we live in a culture about, we'll send them to prison and because it reforms, not all the way. Most of the time, about 80-85% of all inmates return to that terrible place. But you see, sin deforms and education informs and prison reforms, but only Jesus transforms. Oh, because of bloody Calvary tonight, He's still saving men, women, boys, and girls. His preceding achievements, His founding work. And then you'll notice His faithful walk. The Bible said that the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Now, He did what He taught. And I hear a lot of times, don't do as I do, do as I say do. That's hogwash tonight. Don't expect your little youngins not to do what you do. You're their example. You're their light. You're their influence. And you say, well, this preacher, you say, leave me alone because I'm not hurting nobody but myself. That's not right. You hurting the generation that's following you. You hurting somebody that's around you. Every decision we make, it does impact others. So, oh my, tonight, how we see that Jesus began to do that what He taught. Matthew 5 and 14, how we need to remember this tonight. Jesus was teaching. And He said in verse 13 of Matthew 5, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But the salt have lost its savor. Wherewith shall it be salted?" It's good for nothing but to be cast out, to be trodden under the foot of men. He said, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hillside, it cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house." Verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." What are you saying tonight, Pastor? I'm saying that we ought to be like Jesus. We ought to live what we preach. We ought to do what the Bible says to do. It's not a cop-out. You say it's too hard. No, it's not. Not if you get filled with the Holy Ghost, it's not too hard. So we're commanded to be filled. His preceding achievements, His founding work, Jesus began. And I'm going to tell you, honey, I've noticed this. What He begins, He finishes. Amen. "He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Well, I wonder what's going on in you tonight. You say, "Pastor, I'm saved." Well, I can tell you the best way I know if you're saved tonight, what kind of work's going on in you. "Because He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Christ." I hear people say that they save, but I never do see no fruit out of their salvation. And be careful, you've just not joined up in a church and counting on that to get you there. Your sins must be washed away by the blood of Jesus. His preceding achievement, His founding work, and His faithful walk, but then His fruitful word. The Bible said that not only did He begin both to do, but then He taught. Nobody can teach like Jesus. My, what I tell you, could you imagine being the apostles and sitting around the feet of Jesus and He began to teach? We think a lot about Mary and Martha. You remember Martha was cumbered about with much serving. And so Mary was at the feet of Jesus, and there she was at a special place. Martha came to Jesus and said, "Lord," said, "I'm doing this all by myself. Don't you care that I'm doing it by myself?" And Jesus said, "Martha, Mary has chosen that important part." And that's to be at the feet of Jesus. I wonder how many hours a week we sat at His feet being taught from the Word of God. His preceding achievements. Verse 2. Notice, if you would, now His parting absence. He said, until the day in which He was taken up. That's going to happen to us one of these days. We that are born again by the grace of God, we're going to be taken up. Where are you going, preacher? Just to heaven. I mean, ain't no reason you getting excited because you're going to heaven. Some of you get excited because you go to a ball game. You don't know who's a winning. Matter of fact, you got to buy a ticket to get in there. And then if it goes in overtime, you get excited and tell everybody where you work. It went in overtime. But if church goes a little longer, you copy an attitude and you got a problem. And the problem is, it's you. It ain't me tonight. It ain't God. It's you got a problem tonight. And so we ought to be excited. He was taken up. Ain't it a blessing one of these days we're going to be took up out of this place? Won't it be a blessing when He comes by and takes us up? For the Lord Himself shall ascend from heaven with a shout. I don't know what some of you are going to do then when shouting tears your nerves up. For the Lord Himself shall ascend from heaven with a shout. The voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise, for they're getting out of the graveyards. Then we which are alive spiritually and remain physically shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh, won't it be a blessing that day when we're took up out of this old world. Boy, the laughing will stop that day. Them folks that punge and pride and say, well, you holy roller, you Bible thumper, is that all you do is go to church? That's all I want to do is go to church. Since the churchgoer moved in my heart, it's very special to me. I used to hate church. Church was boring. And it'd be boring to me tonight if I wasn't saved. Boy, church is wonderful. It's wonderful tonight. So we see in this passage, there's a preceding achievement, but there's a parting absence. But also, and you'll notice in verse 2, there's a previous arrangement, and that's what I want to preach on tonight. A previous arrangement. He said that He began both to do and teach until the day in which He was taken up. After that, He, through the Holy Ghost. Now watch your Bible. After that, He, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments to the apostles whom He had chosen. Let me ask you something tonight. After He was taken up, the Bible said that He, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments to His young'uns. I want to share with you a verse now that really struck me odd, and I want you to really look at it with me tonight in John 14 and verse number 9. John 14 and verse number 9. And there's a light come on in me yesterday. John 14 and 9. And I don't want to get so excited about it because you might not see it. It may just be for me, but I'm going to share it with you. I'm not going to run around the building. I'm going to just try to tell you what it means to me tonight. It's changed my life. And if our church could get a hold to what I'm fixing to use the next 15 or 20 minutes, it'll change this ministry. It'll change your life. Look what He said. John 14, 9 now. Jesus said unto Him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me? Boy, that's the way a lot of us are tonight. We spend a lot of time around Him, but we don't know but little about Him. My goodness, that'll preach within itself. I've never seen that to write. Ain't it the Holy Ghost amazing? So He says this, Philip, he that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the works. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me. or else believe me for the very work's sake. Now here it is, verse 12. Watch your Bible. Verily, verily, or surely, surely, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Are you with me so far? He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Now, I was all right there. But here's what sort of set me back in my chair and had me dig. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, that sounds a little bit like blasphemy. Me and you get to saying, well, we can do greater works than Jesus did. Our Baptist indignation wants to flare up, Brother Dennis, and say, now, wait a minute. But I'll have you to note that Jesus said that. He said, if you know me and I'm in you, you're going to do the works I've done. But he said, I ain't stopping that. You're going to do greater works than these. In other words, you're going to do things that he could not do at that time. Now, I got to thinking about that just a minute. So for just a second, could I have your mind tonight? And can I throw these thoughts out to you? If Jesus had not went to the right-hand side of the Father and sent the Holy Ghost to work in His people to do greater things for the cause of Christ and the church, then if He had not done that, even though He had got out of the grave and had been no Holy Ghost, after one generation, Jesus would have just been a story. Jesus would have just been a history lesson. But honey, not tonight. Now, because the Holy Ghost lives in us, He's walking in us in this dark and dying world through a dying land in individuals as the Lord Jesus. Greater work shall ye do than what I've done. Wow, that's amazing to me tonight. It sounds... I don't know if it's pollen or the devil. Both are no good. Somebody say amen right there. But I've noticed this. He said, greater works than these shall he do. Now, Jesus could not go beyond Judea. But now, through the person of the Holy Ghost in his people, he goes every place. Christ went from them, but yet he remained with them. Isn't that amazing? He said, lo, I am with you always. Can I say this tonight? Don't miss this little phrase. He did the work, and now we do the works. He did the work, now we do the works. Look what he said. He said, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. Who? Those where the Holy Ghost lives in them. Can I remind you tonight, this Bible says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You must have the Holy Ghost to go to heaven. Don't let the Holy Ghost scare you tonight. He is the divine third person of the Godhead. He's not an influence. It's not an it. He's a real person that lives in me and walks with me and talks with me and goes every place that I go. Can I give you a little nugget about the Holy Ghost? I like it. In John 16 and 13, look what it says. Jesus said in verse 12 of John 16, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Amen. It takes a little time for growing. And don't never think just because somebody's not where you are, give them time. Some of you that's not on board, get on board. Get your heart right. Throw your pasty away. We ain't got time for babysitting. We ain't got time for diaper changing. Grow up and get on for the glory of God. And let's see something happen for the Lord Jesus in this dark and this dying hour. Oh my, he said you can't bear it yet. But he said in verse 13, now watch. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. You'll never go wrong minding the Lord. For He shall not speak of Himself. Watch this. I'm going to tell you, any preacher that's a glorifying himself, the Holy Ghost ain't around him. These big ministries on TV, when it's all about them, me. You better watch it, honey. The Holy Ghost is not a part of it. I'm glad that God knows what we need tonight. But I want you to show you something about the Holy Ghost. I don't know if you've ever caught this or not. The Bible said in John's Gospel 16:13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, come, He'll guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself. Here it is. But whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. You see, you know how Jesus, you know how we're going to do greater things than He did? By the workings of the Holy Ghost. As the Holy Ghost gets orders from headquarters, He comes by. You're talking about a divine field representative, friend. You know all the Holy Ghost is saying? What He's hearing. God's on the throne. And He's saying, listen, go over there and witness to that person. Do this and do. Watch this. The Holy Ghost only speaks what He hears. That's the way God runs the show. Through the Holy Ghost. You don't need a program if you got the Holy Ghost. Why, most Baptist churches don't even know what it is for their pastor not to preach. You know why? The Holy Ghost is different. The Holy Ghost don't do service after service just alike. A lot of times we come in. Remember, I was at Tennessee the other morning. Man, meeting broke out here, and this thing began to go off on my side. I said, either it's a great service or the church is burning down one. Boy, people were so thrilled. And this is what's amazing. We come back in on Sunday night sometime. We want it to do just like it done that morning. But it don't work that way, honey. Oh, only the Holy Ghost can set a service the way we've had services here. If God's way was the same way every time, the devil would know what he is up to and he'd throw a trick in the thing. I wonder how I'm limiting God. Now just excuse me a minute. Take off your Baptist righteous Fruit Loop cap. Let me ask you something. If you walked in, I handed you a program of what we was going to do, who's running the show? Hello, pick a phone up. It's ringing. The Holy Ghost only says what He hears. This morning, I knew I woke up in my study. And buddy, I'm going to tell you something. Anytime you see me walk in the pulpit and I got three spiral notebooks, we fixing to have a meeting because I ain't got a clue what I'm fixing to preach. I told Brother Mike this morning, I said, Brother Mike, I studied that all Friday and yesterday, ready to preach what I got, but the Holy Ghost ain't going to let me preach this morning. You know what I done found out? If I'll just listen to Him. If I'll just listen. And if you'll just listen. Because He's getting orders from headquarters. You ought to underline that in your Bible. He only speaks that what He hears. So how are we going to do greater things? How can we do greater things? Well, I want to say this tonight. Daily His Spirit makes new advances possible for us, which were not possible for Him dwelling in the flesh. But now, through the person of the Holy Spirit, God walks in us through this world. Isn't that amazing? I wonder where we take Jesus through the week. You that are saved, I said something a little off down there in the meeting tonight that I felt stupid about saying. Anybody ever say something stupid and you hate you said it? I'm glad it's three of you here tonight. And I'm glad the rest of you is lying. But it's something in me that the Holy Ghost talks to me inside. You see, the Bible talks about grieving and quenching. You see, when we grieve the Spirit of God, it's because He's wanting to put something in us. But when we quench the Spirit of God, He's wanting to do something out of us. And He only says what He hears, Brother Tim. When God called me to preach, the Holy Ghost come by and let me know in my heart, Brother Mike, what God had said. Well, I understand we got a Bible. If you want to know God, right here is a good way to find Him tonight. But honey, we that are saved got the Holy Ghost that lives in us and walks around in this world doing greater things. Isn't that amazing? I got to thinking, well, what kind of greater things could we do? What kind of greater things could we do? Oh, my, tonight, it sort of even sounds blasphemous to even think about it. But that's what Jesus said. He said, you're going to do greater things for the ministry because I go away and I'm going to send the Holy Ghost to walk in you and live in you. That's amazing to me. Brother Donald, that's amazing to me to think God would walk around in me and you. I wonder where we take God through the week. I wonder what we let Him listen to. I wonder on our remote control how sensitive to the Holy Ghost we are when things come up that this old flesh loves. And you say, well, I'll turn it. No, you won't. Son, she's quieter than a... Let's just set that plow in real deep right there tonight. You better not trust this stinking flesh. You say, well, I'm old enough. That don't bother me. Well, you older than I am. You some kind of goofball. Some of these little boys, they look at these little girls all bug-eyed. Amen. So what are you saying, Pastor? Greater thing. That's amazing. Greater things shall He do because I go unto my Father. Tonight, four things I'll be done on greater things. We have astounding obligations. Astounding obligations. Mark 16 and 15. Mark 16 and 15. The Great Commission. You know, a lot of times, why is it what Brother Mike preached on this morning? Why is it we all, as good Baptists, believe John 3:16? But we don't believe Mark 16:15. He said unto them, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Isn't it amazing? We have missionary Baptist churches, but they don't support no missions. They'll take their signs down. I can tell you why, because they all tied up in a conference and Grandpa ain't going to let them spend a dime. They think it's their money they give, so then they can direct where it goes. They done put the benches in, the windows in, got the names on everything, and Daddy Rabbit ain't going to let nobody spend the money. I got something for Daddy Rabbit. He can hop back out the way he hopped in. The Holy Ghost says, He says what He hears. Holy Ghost tells you something, it'll be all right. He's getting orders. Boy, ain't that a blessing tonight? Oh, you afraid I'm going to preach on your little money tonight? Astounding obligations. He said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. we have astounding obligations to carry the gospel. I wonder how many sermons Jesus could preach out of this 250 or 300 versus His one pulpit. Greater work shall ye do. I wonder if we're really concerned about the gospel, how many of these, when we pump in gas, do we have around in the car that we might could hand out to give somebody the good news of the Lord Jesus? Somebody say, well, preacher, that embarrasses me. Does it? You need embarrassed. A good embarrassing would help you. You think that because you're saved, you ought not share the love of Christ? The plan of salvation that Jesus hung on a cross and died for you? You think it's sissy to give out a tract? I don't think so. I'll arm wrestle you out there at the flagpole. I hand out tracts. I ain't got lace on my cuffs. Matter of fact, I got more grit about me than most Baptist preachers tonight. That's why some of you looking cross-eyed at me. Gospel. Go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel. My, what greater works, Pastor? Oh my, what an astounding obligation. And then secondly, what ample opportunities. What ample opportunities. Luke 14:23. Greater works than these. He did the work, now we do the works. Luke 14. And Bible says in verse 16, then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper, and he bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. So they all with one consent began to make excuse. They had to have been Baptist. The first said to him, talked about his wealth. I bought a piece of ground. I must needs go see it. I pray thee, have me excuse. I'm going to put that in the Baptist excuses, Brother Rob. Bought something and ain't seen it yet. I've heard some that crazy. He had excuse about wealth. Then he had excuse about work. I hear this a lot. Another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excuse. And then the third one was about his wife. Some of y'all drawed up what I'm going to say right there, ain't you? Some of you fellas, absolutely. You used to hen pick, they got scratch feed strode down there at the doorsteps at your house. And then said, I have married a wife. That's your problem, buddy. And therefore I cannot come. You little hen peck rascal. Won't you be the man down your house? Say, honey, I don't know about you, but for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Oh, ladies, go and throw the book. I know you want to. It won't be but 40 bodyguards get you before you get out of the seat. Amen. Watch what he said now. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things, and the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets, quickly, quickly. Go quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring out like this, buddy. You can build a church with these kind of people and bring hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. The servant said, Lord, it's done. Thou hast commanded, yet there is room. Boy, ain't you glad there's room tonight at the cross. Ain't you glad there's room at the cross tonight? And the Lord said to the servants, here it is, go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Boy, what ample opportunities we have. We have opportunities in the hedges. I looked that word up. It amazed you what that means. It means a fenced area. thought we went to prisons this week. Had a lady one time say, how disgusting to go to prison and preach. I said, Lord, it's a lot more liberating than the average Baptist church. Then here's the word highway. I looked that up. That means your journey route. That means where you're pumping gas. That means where you're working. That means down at the softball field. That means down to fruit stand. That means at the grocery store. That means every place you're going in this journey of life, compel them to come to the house of God. That word compel, it's a strong word. It means to have a desire, sincere concern in your heart for them. I don't want to see nobody die and go to hell. Oh my, what an ample opportunities we have in the hedges and in the highways and then even in the houses. Boy, what kind of opportunities do we have?